This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we will wrap up our study of John with Jesus Restores Peter and Peter Asks About John's Future. Then on to Hebrews, In These Days He's Spoken by a Son, Jesus and the Angels, and How to Guard Against Drifting Away. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
There are some doctrines in Christian teaching that when you begin to fiddle with them, you fiddle with everything. Adjusting one thing in a particular doctrine moves everything, and always in the wrong direction. Of course, we don't fiddle with the teachings of Holy Scripture, but some people cannot resist the urge to do so, to come up with a better idea than what Scripture presents or the Church has presented throughout its long history. There are doctrines that move everything. One of them is the doctrine of the Trinity. Fiddle with that one, and everything in the Christian faith, including who Jesus is and what he has done for you, gets knocked out of place and twisted around. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us on this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Who is Stephen Furtick, and how big is he in pop Christianity?
Well, for many years, we've been talking about Stephen Furtick on my my podcast and also in your program. And for the longest time, we've noted that he's been on the rise. I would say with the current state is he's at the top of the heap now. He's up there with the top evangelicals like Joel Osteen and others. He's a TBN preacher now, and I mean, he's super close friends with T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, who was also a modalist and in the Oneness Pentecostal movement. And so his pedigree, I mean, I don't think you can get any higher than Stephen Furtick now.
What is modalism?
All right, modalism, and I always love the Lutheran satire bit on this one. Modalism is the denial that God exists as three persons. Instead, the idea is that God manifests in three forms or modes. So sometimes God manifests in the form of the Father, or in the mode of the Father, or in the form of the Son, or in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so the idea then is that God changes forms or wears different hats. So there, in modalism, there's one God, one person who manifests in three modes or forms.
If you would, a brief biblical refutation of the notion that, and wow, is it a popular misconception about the Trinity?
Yeah.
Even among Christians who think they believe in the Trinity, a biblical refutation.
Okay, so it's very simple. To address the doctrine of the Trinity, you would go to passages like Isaiah 43:10. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be any after me. Also, several passages in Isaiah 45 explicitly state that there is only one God. And that being the fact, then you can easily look at the fact that within the New Testament itself, the Father is referred to as God, Jesus, the Son, is referred to as God, as well as the Holy Spirit. And yet there are not three gods, there's one. And then you can go to Jesus' baptismal formula in Matthew 28, baptizing in the name, Hanama singular, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's it in its nutshell. And so the idea here is we do not understand how it's possible that the one God exists in three eternal persons. This is just what the Scripture says. The word Trinity was a theological term coined to address this biblical fact. So there's one God, three persons. If you want a more explicit summary of how the doctrine of the Trinity works, I would point people to the Athanasian Creed. And if you want a more thorough biblical treatment of it. If you were to Google Robert Bowman Jr. Biblical Basis Doctrine of the Trinity, there's a wonderful document that he put together that's quite exhaustive, that walks through the fact that Scripture reveals that there is one God, and yet there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are referred to as the one God. And then the modalism heresy is shot down on multiple fronts due to the fact that it would have God engaging in theatrics and deception. So the question is, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and so there he is being baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit descends and alights on him in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father is heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So here you have the appearance of all three persons of the one God in the baptism of Jesus. And if these are just modes or forms, then we've got a real problem, because God is now engaging in deception. Of course, the question then is also, when Jesus is in the Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, who is he praying to? If God only exists as one person, then there is no one for Jesus to be praying to. And it the whole thing becomes, just one big theatrical deception that Christ is engaging in the incarnation. And so it's rejected on multiple fronts, but that's kind of the easiest way to get at it.
And I would add to that, when Jesus speaks of the Father and he speaks of the Spirit, he never in any way leaves any room for the interpretation that he's speaking of himself. He's always speaking of the other, the Spirit, yep, whom I will send to you, or whom the Father will send to you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the pronouns make it clear that Jesus considers himself distinct from the Father and distinct from the Holy Spirit.
What are we going to hear first from Furtick?
All right, so we're going to be listening to a portion of a sermon preached by Stephen Furtick at Elevation Church at the end of January of this year, and the name of it is Ghosted. And he's talking about, as he's kind of building up to his points here, he's talking about not only the power of God's presence, but apparently the power of God's absence. And as we listen to this, we're going to note these, with each soundbite, there's going to be more and more clarity of what he's going at and what he's trying to get here. Listen for the word form, in each of the soundbites. But let's let Stephen Furtick talk about the power of Christ's absence.
One time Jesus was in a boat sleeping, and the disciples encountered a storm. He was in the bottom of the boat. He wasn't even walking around. He wasn't even praying. He was snoring. But the power of his presence is so real that even his snoring can still a wave. He got up with sleep still in his eyes and said, "Shut up and let me get my rest." When he spoke to the storm, he demonstrated the power of his presence over any force of nature. So if you are going through a storm right now, if he is on your boat, you won't go down. He is with you in the storm. The power of his presence. You got five loaves and two fish. It's not enough unless you know a man who can multiply it. When you put your little bit in the hands of the God who created everything, little becomes much. It's the power of his presence. Oh, by the way, be very careful if you invite Jesus to your funeral, because he might mess it up. He might make you roll the stone away. He might say, "Lazarus, come forth." Be careful getting too close to him. He might awaken a dead dream. After all, he is the resurrection. He is the life. He is a new beginning. He is power. He has all authority. I feel like preaching. The presence of the Lord is in this place. For 3 years, they saw the power of his presence. But now they are about to experience the power of his absence. What is God doing in your life right now that is actually an indication that his presence is becoming stronger and realer, but your emotional sensation is that he has left you? Now, the power of his absence is really a matter of us understanding that God is not limited by physical dimensions. And I know you know that, but he never really leaves. However, he does change forms. And he creates space where we can experience him.
All right, Chris, there was right there at the end, he does change forms. Why is that a red flag for you?
Right, because that's classic modalism talk. God changing forms. No biblical text talks this way. No Orthodox church father talks this way. There is only one group of people historically who have spoken of God in this way, and that is the modalists, the people who followed Sibelius and others who bought into this heresy. And God does not change forms. In fact, there's a basic understanding of, regarding the attributes of God, and that is that he does not change. And so to say that God changes forms now is going against the very warp and woof of who God says he is, and also against very clear passages of Scripture that say that God does not change. And so you can tell something is off here, because to say that God changes forms is not an orthodox statement. It is one that at best can be said to be heterodox. And so the question then comes up is he teaching a form of modalism here? And so you have to actually listen to see where he goes next to see if that's what's going on here, because this is the language of the modalists.
Before we go on with Stephen Furtig, if you would, he should know better. He actually has a formal theological education of some repute, doesn't he?
Yes, he went to Southern Seminary. He studied at the same institution where Albert Mohler is the president of the institution. So he has a good seminary degree, I would say. But I would also note that as somebody who's been an observer of Furtick for more than a decade, in fact, he's been somebody I have been critiquing on Fighting for the Faith since the inception of our program back in June of 2008. And that is that Stephen Furtick has become a very, very close friend of Bishop T.D. Jakes, who is a bishop in a Oneness Pentecostal organization. And T.D. Jakes embraces and teaches modalism. And Furtick's relationship with T.D. Jakes is one of mentor and understudy, or mentor and mentee. And so you'll note that even in his delivery, that that Stephen Furtick tries to mimic the same style of delivery and kind of amped up emotionalism that T.D. Jakes is known for. And so one has to ask the question, has Bishop T.D. Jakes's heresy of modalism now gotten into the blood and the belief system of Stephen Furtick? Now, we're going to note that if one were to visit today the Elevation Church website and what we believe, they affirm belief in the doctrine of the Trinity, and it's very clearly stated. So one has to wonder, is Stephen Furtick's theology drifting into modalism at this point as a result of his very close relationship with T.D. Jakes?
We're discussing Stephen Furtick's teachings of the heresy of modalism on this week of Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a children's book by Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. It's called See My Savior's Hands. Here is a little on the crucifixion. See his hands spread out against the wood, held there by nails, determined to do this for you and for your forgiveness. See his hands writhing in agony as darkness descends. He is left alone with the burden of all your sin. It doesn't shy away from teaching the death of Jesus for sinners, even though it is a children's book. See My Savior's Hands is from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, a little bit more on T.D. Jakes. He plays fast and loose with the Trinity quite often, but the church of which he is a bishop, Oneness Pentecostalism, is it a genuinely a modalistic error?
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you had the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Choir with the hymn Chief of Sinners Though I Be, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. You can listen to sacred music for the Lenten season anytime, anywhere at lutheranpublicradio.org and on the LPR mobile app. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Stephen Furtig and his teaching of modalism. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, before the break, you were talking about T.D. Jakes, who is Furtig's mentor. He plays fast and loose with the Trinity. A lot of modalists do. But there's no doubt that Oneness Pentecostalism, his church, is in fact a modalist error.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's the whole point of the word oneness in the Oneness Pentecostal churches. Oneness churches affirm that there is one God, one person who manifests in three forms or modes. That is most certainly true. And again, I would point this out. T.D. Jakes has never broken ties with the oneness group that exalted him to the office of bishop. He is still considered Bishop T.D. Jakes by virtue of the fact that he is a bishop in a oneness group. And the Potter's House's website affirms modalism, although quite, in kind of smoky language. And I always think back to the Elephant in the Room 2 conference where James McDonald tried to smuggle T.D. Jakes into Orthodoxy. And it was really funny because in that conference, you think back to the interview that he had with Mark Driscoll, and Mark Driscoll got T.D. Jakes to affirm that there's one God in three persons. But then T.D. Jakes said, yeah, but I'm more comfortable if by persons you mean manifestations. So he always kind of talks out of both sides of his mouth, and he knows that to openly affirm it and say, I believe in modalism, would send half of his audience reeling and leaving. And so he always tries to do the smoke and mirrors trick with his language. So I believe in three persons, if by persons you mean manifestations, which means he's a modalist.
What's next from Furtig?
All right, so we heard him talk about how God changes forms. So now he's going to give another illustration talking about how, again, this idea of changing forms, because he's building up to something. And well, let's see what he does next.
I'd like to preach to somebody today who is in that waiting period. For the disciples, it was 10 days. 3 days between when he was crucified and resurrected. He rose on the Festival of First Fruits is the name of the festival. But what you need to know about it for this study that is significant is that it was 50 days from Pentecost. So 50 days between when he rose and when he ascended in Acts chapter 1. For 40 of those days, He showed himself to his disciples. I'm risen. I'm powerful. I'm present. But the Bible says that after 40 days, he ghosted them. However you want to take that. He didn't leave. He changed forms. He said, I'm going to empower you with my spirit. I'm going to give you something greater. But in between, you will have what seems to be nothing. Ghosted. The Lord told me to preach on ghosted. I said, oh, I can't do that. This isn't a therapy session. It's a sermon, you know? And in little ways and big ways, I think we all can relate to something being taken suddenly from you that you had depended on, and it was actually like a part of you. It isn't always a person. Sometimes your season of life changes, and you didn't get any warning or a training manual for the next phase. I remember when my oldest son stopped letting me hug him in public. I mean, I'm one of these embarrassing dads. I just really love the gig, no matter how much I joke about it. I remember going to hug him one time. It was about 2 years ago. He's 14 now. Went to hug him, and he did this Heisman move that I never saw before. He's like, God, Dad. I'm like, Dad, who's Dad? I'm Daddy. Why'd you drop the consonant in the vowel? Sometimes, why? What is this? We don't hug anymore. You don't love me? No, 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 no. He didn't stop loving me. The love just changed forms.
Okay, Chris, what did we hear there?
So he made a statement. One of the statement was that Jesus didn't leave his disciples. He just changed forms. Again, you know, that's modalism. I cannot help but hear Hans Feeney's, you know, Irish accent here. That's modalism, Patrick. You know, and so here he just changed forms. And then he talks about how his relationship with his son, who's still his son. His son isn't a different person. He is the same person. It's just that he's in a different state. That the love of his son has just, quote unquote, changed forms. This, again, is making the case that Jesus is the Holy Spirit by virtue of the fact that he changed forms. When you logically put it together, you have no choice but to come to the conclusion Stephen Furtick here is teaching modalism, and that's exactly what this is.
We want to rightly understand Jesus' ascension into heaven, so we would affirm Jesus does not leave his disciples, but he takes up in his humanity, still mm-hmm. second person of the Trinity, still yeah. incarnate. He is fully glorified in his humanity and ceases to withhold any of his exercise of his divine attributes in his human flesh, ascends to the right hand of the Father, yet is still present in his church without a doubt. But he never changes form.
Never. And this is kind of when we talk about, we'll talk catechesis here. So I teach my catechumens, you know, what the church has historically taught. So we talk about the different ways in which the persons of the Trinity relate to each other. So the Father begets, the Son is begotten, the Holy Spirit proceeds. And so what do we confess in the Nicene Creed? That the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And so you maintain the fact that there is a unity of essence, you know, the one God. And yet there is some distinction then, of the divine persons. There are not three gods, there's three persons who are the one God. And here Stephen Furtick is, the way he's talking, is that the only conclusion you can come to is that Jesus has to be the Holy Spirit because he's still with them by virtue of the fact that he changed form. But Jesus sends the Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. So we've got some real, really bad language here that is going against the very clear teachings of Scripture. And I hate to say this, but if he's truly believing and embracing and teaching modalism, he is outside the Christian faith. The only conclusion that you can come up with is that he's an idolater, because modalism has been dismissed and anathematized within the church as a heresy that puts you outside of Christianity by virtue of the fact that you have invented a God and your God cannot save you, because the God who is one God who exists in three eternal persons. And so when you believe in one God, one person who changes forms, that's a different deity altogether. Doesn't matter if you use the same terms, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. They mean different things. And as a result of it, you've created an idol and hijacked biblical terms to make your idol appear biblical when it's not.
And I think we should note here something that we're hearing in this audio, and that is, as he introduces these ideas that are clearly unbiblical, his people are just lapping it up.
Yeah, yeah, which means they theologically and doctrinally do not know their Bibles, and they are not being taught the historic Christian faith and to rightly discern truth from error. For them, and as many evangelicals, the worth, the cash value of a worship experience or a sermon is the emotions that it creates, the whether or not it's relevant to you, whether or not it produces something in your life that you can apply or whatever. So the entertainment, the emotion, the experience itself are all the cash value. Whether or not, you know, what you heard is truth or not truth, or if there was truth mixed with error, that doesn't matter. You know, you can kind of spit the bones out and keep the meat, is the way they talk. But the reality is they're being fed full-on modalistic heretical error, heresy. And they are eating it up because, I mean, Stephen Furtick is quite the gifted communicator, but he's giving them poison, poison that destroys saving faith if they even have it.
I want to come back to that objection again and have Chris respond to it in full, that notion that even with something like modalism, this heresy, that, well, he's a good preacher, we can eat the fish and spit the bones.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we will wrap up our study of John with Jesus Restores Peter and Peter Asks About John's Future. Then on to Hebrews. In these days, he's spoken by a son, Jesus and the angels, and how to guard against drifting away. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org. And on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
At Risen Christ Lutheran Church in Arvada, Colorado, we have simply become captivated by the hilarious notion that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save the losers of this world, losers just like us. We proclaim the biblical notion that God saves sinners. Embracing the historic liturgy of the church, we confess that we are just that, sinners. Visit us online at risenchristlutheran.org.
See my Savior's hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Your sun-bleached felt church banners have seen better days. Held together with staples and superglue, they are a monument to Aunt Mabel's pastel-toned creativity from 1960. But it's time for a refresh. Ed Krusem has the solution that doesn't even need a Sharpie. We proudly offer Scapegoat Studios creations as well as Ed Krusem's original banners. Come and browse our wide selection of seasonal church banners. We also create banners and church signs to your design. Visit adkrusem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
And if she was to say, I want a parent, they are not going to provide any resources. They're not going to give her diapers. They're not going to connect her with social services so that she can get WIC. In fact, in my experience, they're going to get upset and try to shame her into having the abortion.
In his own inner peace that he has in his trusting in the Father, all of this he is giving you.
When you bring Christ and the church into the picture, then you definitely have to operate with a monogamous model.
He gives us a different identity, so we shouldn't think of ourselves as in terms of our race or our sexual preference or anything like that. This is so common now, but in our identity that we have in Christ.
In just a few minutes, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got those four soundbites to play for you in their entirety. It's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That is an Ad Crucem Luther Rose medallion, the I Have Issues t-shirt, the Issues Etc. pin, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag. It'll go to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Stephen Furtick's teaching of modalism. Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. Chris, I want to take up the objection you mentioned briefly before the break, and that is he's such a good communicator that we can eat the fish but spit the bones. Is it possible to spit the bones of modalism?
Absolutely not, because if he's embracing the modalistic heresy, then everything he preaches related to Christ or its implications regarding sanctification, you're going to note this poisons every doctrine then. From sanctification to the Godhead to how we interact with God, it affects your understanding of the sacraments. Everything is tainted now by a false Christology and a heretical view of God. Nothing is untouched here. This is such a central doctrine that you cannot listen to anything else he preaches in isolation to it, because everything he preaches assumes it. So it's impossible to just spit out the bone of modalism and glean from it, Stephen Furtick, the rest of the stuff that's good doctrine. No, there is no good doctrine left after this.
You said that Furtick was headed someplace. What are we going to hear next?
All right. So we heard about how Jesus didn't leave his disciples. He just changed form. He used the analogy of his relationship with his son, who no longer calls him daddy, but dad, because love changed forms. And so now we're going to hear Stephen Furtick talk about how Jesus is no longer with his disciples, but in them.
Transform. Transform. Change form. He did not leave. He did not leave you. He is calling you deeper. He did not abandon you. He no longer wants to just be with you. He wants to be in you. And that's what he could not get them to understand. They kept thinking it was something they could see. They kept thinking that it was something that their eyes could verify. And I'm glad for what he told them in John 16. Before he left, he said, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If I go, I can send you something greater. I know your hearts are filled with sorrow and mourning, and you have reason to mourn and be sorrowful. Nothing hurts like having something leave or change in your life. Even if it's a positive change, it's painful. Even if something negative leaves your life, it still requires a recalibration to try to figure out how does life work without this. But he said it's for your good. Paul comes along later and says all things work together for good. And even when it doesn't feel good, it can be for good. This is the transformative power of faith. It's for good. He said, it's good that I'm ghosting you. It's good that I leave in physical form, because then I can give you in spiritual form. Then I can direct you from a deeper place. And God is working for you right now. But it might not feel good to you. But it doesn't have to feel good to you to be good for you.
The tragic thing here, Chris, is that I think he's sincerely trying to comfort his hearers when he's saying this. I think say what you will about Ferdinand and his personality, I think he really does want to comfort his people, but he isn't really doing that, is he?
No, not at all. What's weird is he's also mixed into this some narcissism. You know, we've never been in the physical presence of Christ the way the disciples have. And for him to say that, Jesus doesn't want to be with you, he wants to be in you, as if somehow we were there when Jesus was saying these words in John, and we weren't. But the other thing is that he specifically said that Jesus had to transform from a physical form to a spiritual form. And so my immediate question is Jesus still bodily at the right hand of the Father presently at this moment? Because he just said that Jesus transformed into a spiritual form. Again, this runs afoul of so many things, because the scriptures teach that Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father. And so is Christ still in a physical form? Is Jesus still the God-man? And based on the things that he's saying, I don't think Stephen Furtick believes that. And the comfort that he's trying to assure people of is no comfort at all. And this it even kind of has wisps and hints of some strange form of Gnosticism to it as well.
And it is classic oneness Pentecostalism. If you look into their teachings, I've done so, you have as well. And I've actually interviewed people who have come out of oneness Pentecostalism and can actually verify this. They essentially believe that if you ask them, then who is God? They'll say, well, it's Jesus taking different forms. And it just sounds to me like Furtick is saying that Jesus transformed himself into the Holy Spirit.
Correct. That is the logical inference of the words, the verbs, the nouns he used. Where he says that Jesus transformed from a physical to a spiritual form. That is straight up modalism. There's no way around it.
Do we have any more from Furtick?
Yep, one more, and this is where he's kind of going to bring the thunder, and so quite theatrical at this point. But listen carefully to what he says. There's no way around it. This is modalism.
In John 16, verse 7, he said, I tell you the truth. I know you're mourning. I know you're sorrowful. I know you don't want me to leave you, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. How could you say something like that, Jesus? How could you say it is good if you go away? We followed you. We trusted you. And now you're leaving us. No, I am not leaving you. I am changing forms. See, up until now, I have walked with you. But when I send my spirit, I will be in you. So I am not leaving you. I'm just changing locations. God said I didn't walk away. God said I'm working in this season. God said it doesn't matter who changed their mind about you. I chose you from the foundation of the earth.
All right, translate that for us, Chris.
Yeah, Jesus says, I'm not leaving you, I'm just changing forms. I mean, you know, the only way you can translate it is that's modalism. Jesus changes forms. He's still in you. He just changed from a physical form to a spiritual form. Everything in this sermon, all of his Christology in this sermon is straight up modalism. There's just no way around it.
Someone has suggested, and I think the suggestion should be taken very seriously, that thoroughgoing modalism undoes the incarnation, not only at the back end, as you noted before, if he then becomes the Holy Spirit, he's no longer the God-man. He's no longer man there as the testimony before the Father that secures our salvation for all eternity. Mm-hmm. But it also undoes it on the front end. In other words, you get into what they would classically call docetism.
Yeah.
He really only appeared or made himself to appear to be a man.
Right. That's why I noted that there were kind of hints and whiffs of Gnosticism mixed in here. So docetism only makes it appear that Jesus physically appeared like a man, but really wasn't. And so the idea, if Jesus was only in the form, manifested a form of humanity, he really truly wasn't incarnate of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, which again, this relates directly to the understanding of the incarnation. And so the incarnation is undone. His ascension is undone. Jesus as the God-man is completely undone. And it just turns this whole thing into a theatrical, semi-narcissistic farce. It, rather than the fact that God became man, became one of us, was obedient all the way, you know, from the point of his conception until the point of his death on the cross, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And when he prays in the garden, he says, if it's possible that this cup pass from me, then, you know, please make that happen. But not my will, but your will be done. If Jesus as the God-man isn't a distinct person than the Father, then he only appears to be praying to the Father. He really, at the end of the day, only appeared to be suffering. The whole thing just comes collapsing down. And this is not Christianity. This is some kind of weird, demonic, narcissistic farce is what we're listening to.
Two things before we wrap this up. First of all, I had mentioned before, and I think you concur, that modalism is far more widespread in pop Christianity than we probably know, that it is in a lot of ways the default position that many Christians take because they're so poorly taught and they're not given basic resources like the Athanasian Creed. What are your thoughts?
So my experience as I've been an observer of American evangelicalism is that more and more people have never even been taught the doctrine of the Trinity. And, you know, they go to church for the entertainment value. And as a result of it, you think of it kind of this way is, you know, in communities of people who are anti-vaxxers, what ends up happening is that people start breaking out with all these childhood diseases. It kind of the similar way is that when you have a church that does not teach and catechize and instruct in the basics of the Christian faith, then what happens is that Christianity's childhood diseases, like the Arian heresy, like modalism and Gnosticism and even Judaizing, all come flooding back because there's no inoculation against these heresies. And that's exactly what's happening in evangelicalism. And there's a very strong and growing vocal strain within American evangelicalism that have embraced kind of these conspiracy narratives that you would see in like the Jehovah's Witnesses and other places saying, oh, the doctrine of the Trinity is a pagan doctrine that was introduced and forced on the church by that evil Roman papacy. And they have no concept of any sound history as it relates to the doctrine of the Trinity and the Christological heretical battles that had to be fought in the early centuries of Christianity. They just have this weird conspiracy narrative. And as a result of it, when I proclaim the doctrine of the Trinity on my YouTube channel or on my podcast, more and more I'm getting very strong and vehement pushback from evangelicals who are spewing these conspiracy narratives and do not even know their Bible.
What is the danger of this kind of modalism being taught to the rank and file of pop Christianity?
You lose Christianity. And the adherents who buy into these false doctrines and this false Christology, this false theology of God, the consequence is hell. And there's no mistaking it. The church has anathematized this heresy for the very reason that this God cannot save, the God of modalism cannot save. And those who put their trust in this deity may as well have put their trust in Baal or Asherah or Molech. And that God doesn't exist. That God cannot save. So what's at stake is your eternal soul.
Pastor Chris Rose, bro. is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith at 5 Central right after today's live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristian.com. That's piratechristian.com. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next. We are ready to play our four soundbites for you. We'll do so after the break. Then we'll take your votes. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Atonement Lutheran, Glendale, Arizona. Concordia Lutheran, Geneseo, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Stevensville, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan, St. Paul Lutheran, Long Beach, California, and Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.